Tom?
Oh, good morning, Mr. Doug.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Fine. I'm very well, but I'm very sorry to sort of have to report that I haven't had any luck in seeing how I can break myself clear on this thing. I've spent all the time since we talked trying to see if there's any way in which I could do it, and I find my personal things are just such that I don't see any possible way out of this. I was just about to call Dean yesterday when you got me, and so I went back and tried it all over again, and it's awful, but I just don't see any way out of it.
Fine, Doug. Well, we are sorry, and we sure hope that things go well with you. We miss you, and we
have an awful lot of problems with my family and my father, and it makes life difficult.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, maybe something will work out down the line. Maybe you can work with us on some individual things.
Sure, I'd love to.
I particularly want you to give some thought to the French situation and what, if anything, we can do there with De Gaulle and with our gold and the whole general picture. What our posture, if we need to change up things any, what to do there. And if you can find any time to think about it, give some thought to what you would do on the Vietnam thing and come in and see me. We got to find some new approaches, something we're not doing.
If I have any thought of anything different, I'm certainly at the moment all for everything you are doing. I might have gone after that oil a few months earlier, but that's over the dam, and I think we're just perfect.
Well, everybody felt like we should nearly go after that oil earlier, but we had our... Well, January, when we thought we were about to face up to it, key got awfully stumbly, and we were afraid for that period when the Buddhists were giving him hell in Hue and Da Nang. We were just afraid if we moved, that would kick off world opinion and would make it harder on him, and we'd have a new government to go through. Then we got that out. We got 6-8 Russian ships in port. Then we got them out. Wilson wanted to take a trip, and then we got him back. Ronning had to go from Canada. We got him back. One day we found only one ship in port, so we cut loose.
Those are all the things you can't know. We're just going to be outside.
I think, though, that I might ask a few of you if you'd think of some good people that might work with you to come down here sometime and spend 2 or 3 days the cabinet room talking to our people and having them brief you right up to date, and then seeing if we could get any fresh or new approach to efforts that we might be making that we're not. I don't know who else would be exceptionally good that has training in this field, but I know that you would be, and might be Bob Anderson would be helpful.
Might well be. He looked at these sort of problems.
I think we might maybe get Arthur Dean, get Jack McCloy. Some of them, I think we ought to look at it just to be sure that there's not something that we could be doing that we're not doing. Now, we're getting ready to touch some more bases on peace and always try to face that thing up, but we don't get, they just hang up the phone, they don't pay attention. It's just like my coming up there and asking you to be county attorney in Johnson City, Texas. Now, you know what you'd say. And that's just the way they react to it. When we make a suggestion that we go to the 54 cards or we return to the Geneva, anything, they just say, hang up the phone. The only thing you got to do is leave out and let us have it.
I think that they'll continue to do that until they decide to change. And when they decide to change, they'll change just overnight. So all you can do is to keep at it the way you're doing, and one of the days, maybe, they'll suddenly have a different answer, but they'll never give you any warning.
Doug, if you don't mind, don't say anything about this conversation.
I won't say a thing. I'll tell you one thing that surprised me a little. Last night, after we had Well, after we talked, it was someone, a friend of mine from New York, called me and said that he'd heard from down below a day or two before that I might be called about something in this area, and just was curious whether it had happened or not.
Well, I'll tell you the only thing that I know could have, Sidney Weinberg told me on the phone that he thought that you had had a rest now, and that the government ought to have your services, and that I ought to personally talk to you and talk to Phyllis. And I couldn't tell him that I had talked to Dean and asked Dean to do it, but I said, well, he's a wonderful person and he ought to be in government, and I'm going to try to do everything I can, but I rather doubt, Sidney, that he would come, because
that's where it came from.
Well,
I got that exact word back.
What he did, he gave me a half a dozen names of people that he thought ought to be in the government and that ought to be in the State Department for these vacancies. And the first one he gave me was you. But Dean had already come in and said that he felt that if this could be worked out, that you would be the person that he would like to take his responsibilities in his place, and he thought we ought to move you into this spot if you could do it, because you were a pretty selfless fella and weren't politically ambitious, and people didn't look upon it. They look upon you as rendering a public service. You see, anybody nearly we bring in, they're going to practically destroy Rusk, because they'll say if he's a young man or a 50-year-old man that he just taking a little apprenticeship to throw Rusk out. But he thought that your experience and the fact that you had been ambassador to France and you'd been in the Navy and you'd been Secretary of Treasury and you hadn't particularly cared what your title was as long as you could serve your country, and that you'd served several presidents, Eisenhower and Roosevelt and Kennedy and Johnson, That way it would be a selfless thing, that kind of a draft for your country instead of a political move to upseat him.
Yeah.
And that's the way we were playing it. But I couldn't go into that with Sidney, because I was afraid to do it. But
that's all right, then. I understand, because the fellow who talked to me is a friend of his.
Yeah.
He must have been, when he was getting that list, he must have been talking to a couple of other people, and just all was just that way.
I guess I've had a dozen say to me at different times that we are through somebody else, Dean or Bob McNamara, somebody. Well, Bobby Kennedy said, I just think that you ought to make Doug Dillon come back and help us on the Vietnam thing. Not in this connection, but just a general approach to it. And nearly everybody that served with you, I think, has a genuine respect, and most of them have a rather personal affection, and those names do. I've had it 10 times in the last 6 months. Now, the reason I haven't called you was because you made it very clear down at the range that you had some things that's going to take some time, and that you were willing to stay as long as you possibly could, but that when you did, you'd have to go and work it. So I put it off the last minute. In this case, Dean came over about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and said, now, I've got several I'm thinking about, and here's who they are, and he listed them. He said he'd prefer you, and I said, I don't think he'll come, and I don't think he can, and he said, why, and I explained as briefly as I could. Then, to make a long story short, he came back in a couple of other meetings, and finally he came in the other day and said, this is the one. And I said, well, then you go ahead and make the approach, because I after you do, after you talk to him, I'll let him know, I hope before he decides, that it's a joint request and certainly mine, but I think it'd be better, he'd feel better, and you would too, if he accepted that you're the one that talked to him.
Well, if I have to call him back, is it all right to tell him that...
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd just tell him, I'd say, I went into my problems with the president pretty thoroughly at the ranch, and I was hoping I could work them out, but I just can't do it right now, and I'll be available to both of you, help any way I can. I just don't believe it'd be in your interest or my interest to come there and sign up 7 days a week, because you might have to carry me some, and what you're looking for is a fellow to help you.
That's right. that's the real problem. And so, well, that's all right. I'll tell him. But I just, when you said not to mention it to him, I just wanted to know that someone was talking about. But I don't think they knew whether anything had happened, but they knew pretty well what this was about.
I think it, in response to that, I'd say, yes, the president has asked me to do some work on Vietnam, and he's asked me for some judgments on fiscal matters, and he's asked me to take a look at some things in Europe, and I'm counseling with him from time to time, and I'll be going down with my wife and visiting with him from time to time, but I'm no plan to go in at this time in a full-time capacity, but he has asked me. That is correct. I just admit it and say, yes, he has. And
fine, then that's good. I just wanted to get
out. And I tell Sidney the first time I saw him that the president has talked to you about coming back to Washington in just damn near any capacity that you could have, nearly any cabinet thing we could have, but that you don't feel like you're in a position to do it right now, and that you are going to work with the president on fiscal policy, on European problems, and to do some special things for Vietnam from time to time as he needs them, and you've had your committee of businessmen, and we may be sending some to Germany and things of that kind.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll do that.
Give my love to Phyllis. Bye.